B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. We're doing a All Elite Wrestling recap right now. This is very exciting. This is portrayed a little bit as kind of a WWE podcast. We both watched the show on Saturday night. We both enjoyed the show. Pronouns pal, Mike and I both enjoyed the show. my big takeaway from All Elite Wrestling show Double or Nothing was it was simple. It was to the point. There was nothing to overthink. The stakes were clear in the important matches. And we have an idea of where things are going. And there is some genuine incitement from the show that happened Saturday and where the company is going forward. Why? Because the show was very simple. It's one of the reasons why I think overall this was an excellent pay-per-view broadcast. Mike, what was your big takeaway from Saturday night's All Elite Wrestling pay-per-view?
You know, Jimmy, it was a simple show. The venue, the city was great, Las Vegas, obviously. But it just kind of felt like it was a throwback for me. You know, you had, obviously, Jim Ross on commentary. You had Chris Jericho, Cody Rhodes, who has revamped his career. Bret Hart was out there at one point. Dustin Rhodes, John Moxley, now who we knew before as Dean Ambrose. So numerous generations of performers there all in one night. Diamond Dallas Page, he was out there too. It was just so many people that we've known from over the years. And in the same way, the same sense of seeing everyone out there, I had in the back of my mind, like, here are guys either trying to start over again, looking for a whole new opportunity, which I think they have, or a whole new career in general, or a chance that they never got, meaning that they never had their shot at the WWE, the big time guys. So these, what AEW is doing here, they're saying we can play with these guys. We're putting ourselves out there. And yeah, as we've said many times, you got to give it time, but this is certainly a step in the right direction. And when you have an owner like Tony Khan behind that, who, you know, a billionaire NFL owner behind it, that's a big thing right there. And I do have a question, though, Jimmy. If you, a hypothetical question, may I say?
Oh, please, hypotheticals. I love hypotheticals.
Yeah, and I'd like to, you know, even the listeners here, too, if you did not know that an NFL owner was behind this, you know, a billionaire was paying the bills for this, would you know, based on the production value, would you think that an NFL owner was behind it if you did not already know?
Well, it's more of a billionaire than specifically to the NFL owner, but the fact that Tony Khan has connections is how they got into MGM Grand. It's how they got the Turner TV deal. It's how they can afford to make Jericho an offer that makes him a centerpiece player. It's how they can make Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega centerpiece players along with being vice presidents. They have a budget to, they have a business plan in place, and they have the upfront money to execute that business plan, and they probably forecasted a loss in the first 2 or 3 years, and they can handle it. But the big trick will be if year four comes and they're still running at a loss if they keep going.
Yeah, and exactly, and it's a you know, it's definitely, from what I saw with the production, and so forth. I think they played it very well. They didn't go overboard. They played it right where we have room to work with. And it was just, it really was perfect for a first ever production for a brand new brand of professional wrestling. And this was a giant step in the right direction, obviously for them, but also for the future of pro wrestling for competition. This is big.
And nuts. I nitpicked some production things as I was watching it live.
Yep.
And they missed some shots on some moves. I didn't love the way the commentary was set up.
Yeah.
But I understand that it's their first time together as a unit. It's some people's first time ever doing play-by-play, things of that sort. It's a first show, so it's going to be a little rough around the edges. And over time, I think they'll figure it out. But, you know, those are small little nitpicks. Overall, I like this show. And one of the things that I really liked about this show was how it was formatted.
Yep.
It grew to the main event, which was the most important thing on the show. Mm-hmm. And that is a focus on Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, your best match. You're doing it right out of the chute. And the winner is going to be part of the AEW championship match.
Right.
And you had Hangman Page, who won the Battle Royal, on the pre-show. And so that's a match now that you can look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jericho's going to end up as the first AEW champion. And I think it's for no other reason than he's your biggest star right now. Mm-hmm. And he can get on anybody's radio show. He can get on any mainstream podcast, or at least we think he can get on mainstream TV shows. He might not be able to, but I think he can. People know the name Chris Jericho, not as much as they know a John Cena as a Hulk Hogan, but Chris Jericho, AEW champion. Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot of appeal to people.
And let's make it clear, there would be the inaugural AEW champion. So they're going to really brand it that way, too. It's the name. It's going to carry it. It's all about marketing. So, yeah, I think they're crazy if they don't give him the belt, as they are calling it, the belt.
He'll be the first championship. He'll be the first name on that belt.
Yep, as he should be.
Because it looks like that belt is beautiful, by the way.
It is. And, it's awesome.
They seem to take a lot of New Japan from it. Mm-hmm. I feel like they took a lot of the Big Eagle belt, which is the Steve Austin big blue belt. I believe you have an autographed Mick Foley one.
With Austin and The Undertaker on it.
Yep. So I think that thing is beautiful, and I can't wait to cash in my Money in the Bank, Stuart Take All, and show up on your door after you purchase that thing.
Well, I'll have a restraining order ready to go, so no problem.
I know some people who can override that.
All right, sounds good.
So I think that we both kind of agree here that the Cody Rhodes Dustin Rhodes match was the match of the night, and it was Cody beating Dustin, which I didn't see coming, but I understand why. But here's why: for me, it was match of the night. It had emotion. It was a bloodbath, which is something that we haven't seen in a long time. That much blood just gushing out of Dustin's head. It had the crowd, and it had a hell of a finish. I loved it. It's really what a featured program or a main event match should be. And I thought that this could have been, truth be told, I thought this could have gone on both extremes. It was either going to be amazing, which I thought it was, or it could have been a clunker. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it was amazing. The blood, the heavy blood, helped the drama of the match, because I think it impacted me more because WWE doesn't do blood. But again, simple story, simple, understandable story. And I think that was kind of the key to why I was so into this match and why I loved it and why it was my match of the night.
And, you know, talking to a buddy today, Dom, who, watched the show, it's just like we're saying, how did Dustin Rhodes not pass out with all that blood? And maybe, like you said, Jimmy, we're not used to it anymore because WWE refuses to have the blood much like that. And it's like, okay, this is real. You saw how thick it was. That was some real.
I joked that it was a blood capsule. Obviously, it wasn't, but.
No, but then, you know, then the paint on his face, too, that looked even more thicker. And
that's
Cody
all by design. It helps.
No, oh, huge, big time. And then Cody wiping it on his chest, you know, even cringing a little bit when you see Earl Hebner going in there for the 1-2-3 count, all in that bloodbath. It was a really good match. Now, I did pick Cody to win. I thought he was going to win from the start. And the only reason I say that is because the old adage and the Rhodes family being, you know, traditional wrestling family, where when you lose, your retirement match. I thought this would be Dustin Rhodes' last match. But from what we saw with the sentimental moment, I thought that was really nice at the end to challenge the Young Bucks there. And then he said, I don't need a partner, I need a brother. And that was really nice. So we're going to get that. And, you know, could Cody turn on him? Sure. Could Dustin Rhodes come out of retirement and fight him again? Absolutely. But I think that was a really cool thing. And then what everybody is talking about, Jimmy, at the beginning, a little bit of bashing Triple H, if you will, on the throne and the sledgehammer. Here's my takeaway from that. I love it. I thought it was great. It was brilliant. But I don't think they need to do it again. Just once.
I think you're going to see more of it, Mike.
I mean, all right, you can see more of it, but I don't think it's necessary. They sent the message, they made it clear, and now they're letting them know you guys got a little bit of a competitor here. I would just leave it as is. The question is, though, and many people have asked on the Twitter page, at WrestleCast95, will WWE retaliate?
Oh, they're petty.
Yeah,
they're petty. I've seen this across a couple news sites of, is Natalya going to get punished for Brett going on the show?
Yeah,
are wrestlers who tweeted about the show going to get punished for tweeting about the competition?
Mm-hmm.
Like Gallows and Anderson, I don't think they care.
No.
Sasha Banks is trying. Sasha Banks, I don't think, will work there ever again.
Well, you mean WWE?
Yes, WWE.
So, yeah.
And I don't think AEW wants her either. But I think that they would take her. I mean, if you want to read into the shot that Cody Rhodes took at Bayley during StarCast.
We did a deal with Road to Double or Nothing, and somebody was sent to Chicago to interview Kylie. And man, what a ball of emotion. And that's what we wanted. Someone passionate, and she's not like, you know, wacky inflatable tube men pretending to be nice. She's actually... Well, come on, guys. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't think Sasha Banks is welcome there.
Yeah.
I mean, I found it interesting, and I think we're going to get more of these, but I go to this point. If Cody isn't a fan of Bayley, I can't imagine Cody's a fan of Sasha Banks.
Right.
Maybe because of the star power, it would be a hate hire.
Right.
But I mean, he made it a point to put over Smiley Kylie.
Oh, my God. Big time. That was a Bayley twin, right?
Right. So, I mean, I can't really imagine them.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine them going in that direction.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Cody will get outvoted because he's probably been outvoted on a bunch of things so far.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, it just seems like that, you know, Sasha Banks may not be open, maybe not be welcome with open arms, but I think she would be gladly accepted, though, because it's a name and they know what she can bring to the table. And that would definitely generate their women's division. Hands down.
And to just wrap up the Dustin Cody conversation, mm-hmm. they're going to do Dustin and Cody against the Young Bucks at their next pay per view. Which I don't have the date in front of me, but you'll find it.
The one in June there with John Moxley, too. He's going to be fighting, they said, right?
Yep.
So there you go, in Daytona.
But for me, it was like, it was emotional.
Yeah.
Cody said he doesn't need a partner or a friend. He needs his older brother.
Right.
You saw people crying for this.
Oh, they did, big time.
Yeah. Fans chanted Dusty, and it made me think this was a play off of the 1994 promo of Dusty to Dustin and Dusty talking about how he neglected Dustin and mm-hmm. how he needed a partner against Terry Funk and Arn Anderson. That's the good stuff. And
right.
I'm sure that the smarter fans, you know, the longer time fans picked up on it.
I know that the Clash of Champions on August the 24th, you put your name on the dotted line. I don't want you to look for another partner. I don't want you to go and find another man. I don't want you to go out and get on your knees and beg another scum-sucking pig to be your partner. I'm asking you if you can carry this old out of shape, old bent out, old spindly legged man. I want to be your partner. I don't need no handshake, because out there right now tonight there's people with their brothers and their sisters and their wives. They are blood. The Kennedys were blood. The Earps were blood. The Rhodes are blood. I don't need a handshake. What I need now from you is just a hug and a kiss to seal the deal, baby.
Jimmy, by the way, just a quick correction on that. Cody and Dustin Rhodes, they'll be doing it, not the pay-per-view next month, but it's actually going to happen at the one in July,
okay,
in Jacksonville, July 13th. That'll be the tag team match, because Cody is already scheduled to fight Darby Allin on June 29th in Daytona. So that's the deal with that. So June 29th at Fighter Fest, Cody goes one-on-one, but then Fight for the Fallen in July. That's the tag team match. Sorry.
No worries. Mike, what did you think of Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega 2?
I thought it was excellent. I thought it was a great... I mean, it was a tough one to top with Cody and Dustin. That was a tough match to top. But this right there was right up there. That was a great match. And the finish, I thought, was... I thought it was a little weak. Not going to lie. It was kind of a surprise. Just the regular finish there. No Walls of Jericho. It just was the 1-2-3 count, kind of a surprise there, but overall a great performance, very similar to what you saw last week of Money in the Bank, AJ Styles and Seth Rollins as the match of the night, same technical aspect of them. And obviously the end waiting around, and you just knew that something was going to happen because the crowd just stayed there. Usually take a bolt for the exit, but you just knew something was going to happen because everybody stayed. And then, of course, the surprise appearance with John Moxley.
I didn't think that I thought Jericho Omega 1 was better, but yeah, this rematch was still really good. I, like you, didn't like Jericho's new finisher. Mm-hmm. I know that he put out a social media video where he's training for it and so on and so on. I don't love Lacey Evans's punch as a finisher either. No. I understand the psychology of doing a move like that, because you can hit it on anybody at any time.
Yep.
But I don't, for a smaller person, mm-hmm, it has a logic hole for me. When the Big Show had his right hand as one of its finishers,
yeah,
it made an impact because it's the biggest hands in wrestling.
Right.
I guess the comparable for Jericho and Lacey Evans finishers, although I think they were better done, is Masato Tanaka in ECW. He had his roaring elbow as a finish. If you remember the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, he threw the discus punch in WWF.
Oh,
I think
true.
Those looked better. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm open to see more of it. If
yeah,
if Jericho, you know, executes it better, more snug, whatever, I think we probably have something here. But I need to see it more, because I like the Codebreaker as a finish. He hits yep, the Codebreaker. He doesn't go for the pin because he's trying to establish a new finisher. At
right,
some point, we'll be conditioned for it, but I'm not there yet. But
yeah,
I want to see more of it because I want to be positive.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was, you're right. You have to give it time and, you know, try to let it grow out a little and see how it all pans out. But overall, a good match, really good match. And I'd put it as a match of the year candidate right now. I really would. That, the Dustin Cody one, right up there with
the Young Bucks tag team match is another one you can put up there.
That was a good one, too.
It's one of the better tag team matches. But just to finish up on the Kenny yep, Omega, Chris Jericho thing, yep, I'm guessing that when they have their third match, Kenny Omega will go over and become the AEW champion.
Right.
But I think that that's a few, that might be a year down the road. That might be a few months down the road.
Yeah.
But again, with Jericho and Omega, the match and the stakes were simple.
Yep.
Very simple.
Very simple. No stipulation.
Of course, Chris Jericho wanted a thank you from the crowd because he's doing the whole, this promotion is about me and me alone. This is my reward. John Moxley came through the crowd and into the ring, and he grabbed a microphone and said, "You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here." Oh, no, actually, I'm sorry. That was the Scott Hall promo from Nitro in 96. But similar in the walk down, the walk across, and then over the guardrail. Fans went crazy for it. Moxley lives in Vegas, so he probably was home before, he's probably home in 10 minutes. Double underhook DDT on Jericho and the referee. Fans chanted his name. Moxley waved at Omega, helped him up, went for the DDT. Omega pushed him to the floor, and then they had a bar fight. Fans broke out into an AEW chant. They fought to the – I liked the poker chip. That was a neat little touch.
Oh, it's awesome.
Moxley gave Omega the DDT on the poker chip, and then they went off the air with Moxley standing over Kenny Omega, and now you have a new talent, and you have created the vision in the fans' mind of this is a dream match. This is John Moxley versus Kenny Omega. So now you leave the pay-per-view thinking, wow, I'm going to get Cody and Dustin versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Hangman Page versus Chris Jericho. Hangman Page, who won the Battle Royal, is now also the number one contender for the AEW Championship. And you're going to get John Moxley versus Kenny Omega. That's good stuff, and that's probably going to be Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
For Jericho and Page and Moxley Omega.
Right, and now that we have the two pay-per-views in between that, that's like the kind of old-fashioned, this is where I think AEW is cashing in on that, the old-fashioned WWF model where you have one pay-per-view every 4 months, and yes, we do know that there are two other events at least before Chicago, come Labor Day weekend, but that's a good way for them to build up on this, where you're not rushing it right away that next month. So they have a good 3 to 4 months to tell the story and let it all pan out. And just my own correction that the Jericho Omega, the only stipulation was the number one contender. What I meant to say was like there was no ladder match, no hardcore match, no holds barred, none of that stuff. So just before anybody yells on the radio.
Doesn't need it yet.
No,
doesn't need it yet, and that's the great thing.
Yep.
You're planting, you're starting stories here.
Yep, exactly. Now, are you ready to talk about the Young Bucks real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was a good match. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was great how they paid homage to Elvis with the Elvis outfits coming in Las Vegas. That was really cool. But that's a match where I thought they could have had a ladder match. They could have had a no holds barred because you're coming off of the Cody Rhodes Dustin Rhodes match. Then you had that that 8-woman tag match, but the Young Bucks one did get everyone back into it. I think that really could have had something in there. Now, not saying they definitely needed it, but I wasn't as invested as I thought I would have been in that tag team match. And maybe it's just me not being so invested with the Young Bucks in general, or the Luchadors, right?
Lucha Brothers, yep.
Lucha Brothers, yeah, excuse me.
So, Mike, I don't mean this. This is, I'm not trying to take a slight at you, but...
No, go ahead.
You're not as... I read you as more of a WWE person.
And I am.
And if you catch NXT, if you catch other products...
Yes.
But you're not out there searching for it. Would that be fair to say?
You're spot on.
So in the same way that a lot of this undercard to me, I had only read about some of these people.
Yes.
I didn't know their work.
Right.
So I'm watching kind of casually their work, and there's nothing bad about their work. But I'm not emotionally invested in these characters because I haven't seen them on TV. I've read about them. So I think in the same way where you have probably seen the Young Bucks wrestle maybe three times.
Sounds
because
right.
Because it would be Northeast at the Lowell Spinners Ballpark, Ring of Honor show in New Orleans, and Ring of Honor show in Lowell, Massachusetts the night that Cody won the title.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was 2 years ago this month. And that's the other thing, too, with the scenario of Cody Rhodes, too, where before, you know, he got to the independent circuit stuff, yeah, he was a mid-card guy in the WWE, and he was never given that chance to be a main event guy, where he was deliberately told by Triple H and Vince McMahon, we don't see you as a main event guy, and good for Cody going out there doing his thing. Did I feel more connected to him? Do I feel more invested to him after you and I had the chance to meet him a couple of times?
Yep.
Very nice guy. And I feel more
invested. We saw him work for Chaotic. We saw him win the world title at Ring of Honor.
Right. Yeah. Good guy. And so I'm rooting for him.
But those are types of moments that you're like, oh my God, this guy's the world champion, referring to Cody. Or, you know, the Young Bucks just put on this great match against X, Y, or Z. And that's the thing that hooks you to a performer. Or if they put on a clunker, you're like, this guy, I'm out on this guy. And that's just conditioning.
Exactly.
Just conditioning. Like, a lot of the New Japan, like, I was at the, when I was at the MSG show for New Japan and Ring of Honor, I knew all those guys. I was anticipating all of their stuff, and I was pumped to actually see them wrestle live.
Right.
But I know, I felt like a lot of that crowd was there for Cody, the Bucks, and Kenny Omega. And they weren't on that show.
Right.
But, and the crowd wanted to be there for stuff and were there for Okada and some of the other stuff. But on a bigger scale, I don't think that crowd was as invested. And a lot of them overpaid for tickets because they thought that they were going to get what they wanted and they couldn't get rid of them. So they're like, oh, well, we'll just go to the show.
Right. Exactly.
And that's how wrestling fans are.
Exactly. And that's why I think you're spot on with my, you know, being devoted to the WWE more or less over time. And that's why I did not, I'm not so into the Young Bucks. So
you'll get there. You'll get there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without question. Yep. Without question. And Cody Rhodes, to have him put them over like that, to say, I believe they're the best tag team in the world, and him and Dustin Rhodes to be a tag team with each other and go up against them, I'm invested in that. I'm excited for that now. So that stuff like that for a fan like me, that helps. That certainly helps.
Mike, it brings me to an interesting point here. Yep. And as we're talking about this, one of the things that I was actually going to close with this, but it seems germane to the conversation right now, is this is one show for AEW. It's the second show for Cody, the Bucks, Kenny Omega. And I think they're two for two. The biggest difference for this show is, on Saturday, it was the number three trend amongst Google searches. All In was not in the top 10 back in September. So what I think they should have done from a production standpoint is educate more to the person who is new to the product. And maybe they did, and I just didn't catch it, but I feel like they could have done more to get people up to speed on who MJF is,
right?
And who Hangman Page is,
exactly,
and what their potentials are. Maybe they could have done video vignettes. Maybe they could have just had the announcers present them better during their matches or during their promos. Those are just little things. I know one thing that, in as far as like our radio show goes, our radio station, we try to make sure that when we introduce a topic that the listener out there knows exactly what we're talking about so they can feel part of the process and they're not trying to Google and figure out, well, what does this mean? We don't know. And then they click off. Hopefully we do a good enough job explaining that to our audience where they're with us and they're not like, forget these guys.
Yeah, do the best we can. Totally do the best we can. And I think that was you're right. It is two for two. And the show definitely, I was really impressed with everything, the production. I even went as far to say, and I know you're probably going to disagree with this, but I think that set was better than the WrestleMania 35 set. The WrestleMania 35 set was a glorified house show. This was awesome. You were in Las Vegas. You had poker chips there. You had the dice. You had, and what I really liked, I thought it was creative. There was a camera coming out of the right by the entrance where, like, you could see them walk through the tunnel, and then a separate one, obviously the main one, but a in tunnel camera right there. That was cool. So an interesting concept right there. And overall, again, I was very pleased, very impressed with what they did for the first time to have a billionaire backing it up like that. and a brand new promotion, and they're not afraid to step up to the plate and take a couple of swings. They're not taking the strikes looking. They're swinging.
I think the difference in the entryway, I remember TNA doing an entryway like that. I remember WWE when they did the Invasion pay-per-view doing an entryway like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of a good guys, bad guys entryway.
Yeah,
adds a little bit more realism to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind it. Did I think it was better than WrestleMania? It's just different because WWE has to put on an entryway so Joan Jett can play.
Ugh. Yeah, but I don't know. It was a freaking big screen. Yeah, and
remember
Mike,
WWE is now a TV show.
I know.
They're not a live audience show anymore. That's why they did away with the pyro, except for WrestleMania.
Right.
It's more about where are we getting the most money from? Well, we're getting the most money from the Saudi prince.
Right.
We're getting the most money from Fox and USA going forward. Yeah. So now you're a TV show that just happens to have live events.
Just a couple things. Speaking of live events with AEW, one, do you do the house show route? Because we know WCW got rid of that at the end, and Eric Bischoff is
not yet.
Okay. And then two, do you go up? I mean, I would not go up against Monday Night Raw. And I know Mike McMahon said it on this podcast here with you the other day on that interview, which is very good. Don't go up against Raw because that was the death of TNA initially. Do you go up against SmackDown, though?
Well, so I have heard that the show is going to be Tuesday nights. It's going to be either 8 to 9 or 8 to 10. I'm hoping it's 8 to 9 because I only want to see an hour of it.
Keep it short for now.
And SmackDown will have been moved to Friday nights on Fox. So you would be taking... Yeah, I know. I know. Which would be taking over the SmackDown positioning, and you hope that people find you on the Turner networks. And maybe... I don't think that the TV night is done, but I've heard if there's a conflict with the NBA, that 8 o'clock show goes to TBS.
Okay. All right.
We'll see if that holds true.
Yeah, and that's a great brand to have behind you. Turner, that's awesome.
Turner, and it doesn't matter. I know people are like, oh, well, they're paying for airtime. I don't know that they are or they aren't, but it doesn't matter because you're looking for exposure. In the same way that this is an old Dale story. in the same way that the New Jersey Devils were down in the dumps and they paid, I think it was WFAN, $5 million a year to broadcast their games when they were terrible.
Oh,
because they wanted the marketing of it.
Yeah, and they needed it.
Would you rather, you know, have a station like, for instance, Pop TV, which Impact was on for so long, pay you to have their show on, and you're doing 0.2 ratings, or you're not doing great ratings,
right?
Or would you rather pay and be on a good station if you can afford to pay, which they obviously can,
of course,
and get the marketing buzz and hope that when the contract expires that there's good revenue being generated and your ratings are good enough to say, hey, we now should be paid for our content, or you do a revenue split. There are radio rights deals, not now currently, but when a team was bad, that they would do a revenue share for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go deeper into that, but it's just smart when you want to be somewhere and you know it's good for you, you make it work and you bet on yourself, and then it will transition to the company paying for your rights. And I think that's what they're banking on.
Absolutely. And like you said, if you have the money to pay for it and get that exposure, do it. You're crazy. And if you're looking to get paid by the company, a television company right away for a contract, it's not going to happen. They're going to want to see you earn your stripes to say, hey, look it, we can fill up this arena. Hey, look it, we can get the ratings. We have this, we have that. You have to earn your stripes. So they're doing the right thing. And I think a lot of people in WWE, their eyes were open after the pay-per-view on Saturday night with many things, especially with the Triple H thing, as we talked about, Bret Hart, Diamond Dallas Page, and a lot of things, as you said, that they probably will fight back at some point, too, to make a jab at them for the Triple H thing especially. But I think that sends a message that there is another more company in town, and you better be on the lookout, because they may not be coming after you right away to take the top spot, but they're in the ballpark.
Well, and so this just popped into my mind. Mm-hmm. So when Ted Turner bought WCW, Jim Crockett Promotions, the NWA, whatever he bought years ago,
yep.
The story is Ted Turner called Vince McMahon and said, "Hey, Vince, I'm in the wrestling business." And wrestling. Vince said to him, "Well, that's great, Ted. I'm in the sports entertainment business."
Mm-hmm.
And so while it's obviously on WWE's radar, but they are going for the variety show rather than the wrestling show. And I think that's what frustrates fans is of all the things that when WWF transitioned to WWE, the thing that they could have dropped was the word wrestling. And they didn't. They chose not to. They chose to drop Federation and they turned it into entertainment.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, your stories are still being solved in a 20 by 20 foot ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, at least I'm 38, you're 30, whatever. That's at least how we view it, is that it's, you're still a wrestling company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we all, like, you know, God bless Tommaso Ciampa for calling himself the greatest sports entertainer of all time. Do you know anybody outside of a WWE contract who calls it sports entertainment?
No.
They're wrestlers. Nope. They're super. I will give you superstars.
That's it.
But they're wrestlers. I don't say, oh, you know what? Such and such had a great sports entertainment match. I don't. I call it a wrestling match. That's what it is.
Exactly. A good fight. A good bout. You know, a good match, like you said, those are what you say. You don't say a sports entertainment match. No. Or even leaving an event. That was a great show. We don't say that was a great sports entertainment show. It was a great show. It was a great event to be at. It was a great night. That's how you word that. So you're right. That's where they dropped the ball on it, which, oh my gosh, I think it was, what, 17 years ago this week, or more or less, with the WWE, they lost in May. So, yeah, they had that opportunity there, and they chose not to go that route.
One final kind of note that I have relating to All Elite Wrestling and their pay-per-view. Bret Hart came out, got a massive ovation. I was thrilled to see that. Mm-hmm. Hangman Page came out because he won the Battle Royal, and was introduced, and MJF came out, who, if you're not familiar with MJF's work, he's awesome. And you saw a little bit about it with him making the joke about the fan attacking Bret Hart.
Oh, yeah.
MJF, I saw at a town hall maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and the kid just had the look, and he had the talent, and if they let him do his thing, he's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And
right on the mic.
So what you did there was you put Bret Hart in a situation as he was showcasing the AEW championship, which again looks beautiful, and I can't wait to steal from you. But what you did was you put a legend in the ring with two of your young guns. I think Paige is 26, 27. MJF is like 23.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be the future of the company while you're watching Jericho, Omega, Cody, The Bucks, Adam Page, and MJF are going to be the two wrestlers, the two superstars, if you will, who are going to go beyond. If everything plays out right, they're going to take you beyond the career of Chris Jericho, the career of Dustin Rhodes, I think.
Yeah, MJF 23 and Page is 27. So, yeah, they'll be around for a long time, and they're the future of that. It's just like that's why you have to put the belt on Chris Jericho right now. You got to give it to him and then let Jericho put one of them over when the time is right. So they're on their way and the future is bright for them. By the way, observation, MJF, I thought he kind of looks like our friend, former independent wrestler, Mark Sherman. Does he kind of look like Sherman a little bit to you?
His comparison is more Colt Cabana.
Yeah, but I mean, the facial kind of look like a Sherman there a little bit. Yeah, it's like, oh, that looks like Mark Sherman. So
but,
shout out to him. Good
I
man,
would say,
Mark.
Great Celtics fan, Mark Sherman.
Oh, they all are. Him, Taven, Eddie Bennett, Eddie. Yeah, they all love
They're all Celtics honks.
It's very interesting.
He gets compared look-wise to Colt Cabana more than anybody else.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm okay with that, too.
So I do want to, Mike, I want your closing thought here. on the show because I want to close the show with my thought.
Oh, go for it.
I felt like this crowd and the AEW shows are what wrestling fans who just want an alternative to WWE or mm-hmm. for the WWE to be better than what it is. WWE isn't going away, but maybe All Elite Wrestling and fans giving All Elite Wrestling their support is yep. going to make WWE better. Maybe it won't because they have their money. They don't need the live attendance money. But if sports entertainment isn't for you, there's a ton of wrestling out there. So yeah. seek out AEW, seek out Impact, Ring of Honor, New Japan, your local independent, Chaotic, Northeast Wrestling. It's one show. They did really well. All Elite Wrestling really has a chance to make it. And if they don't make it, I don't know that there's going to be another company that is going to have that opportunity to make it. And I'm not biased towards one or the other. I'm not biased towards any company. Mm-hmm. I just want to see good wrestling.
Yep.
So like one of the things that I noticed on my Twitter mentions was, oh, well, you hate WWE if you support All Elite Wrestling. No. I'm a wrestling fan. Have been for 30 something years.
Yep.
I want good wrestling, and if I'm not getting it from one company, I can find another company that will give me what I want. Now, right. for the sake of the job and because I'm a fan, I'm going to watch everything.
Mm-hmm.
I might skim through some things, but I'm going to pay attention to everything. So I'm not picking sides. I'm straddling the fence on all companies because I like all companies. I have friends in all companies. If you want to have a Twitter war, it's not with me. I don't care about your tweet. I shouldn't say that. I don't care about you thinking that I hate wrestling company X as a tweet. I don't care about it. Do that on your own time.
I love it. Love it. And you know what, Jimmy? I think a lot of people reading through Twitter and even some articles today, similar to what we just talked about here on this show, that WWE now has a true competitor. And it kind of feels like the WCW days of them going right after them. And just after one show.
This feels more like ECW. Obviously, the violence is different. Like, there isn't going to be that, even though you saw Bloodbath. This feels more like Paul Heyman's ECW with money behind it and what's going to turn out to be a better TV slot.
Well, the reason why I'm going to go the WCW here is because you have another billionaire behind it, and you have guys that have jumped from the WWE to the AEW now. We saw that numerous times in the mid-90s all the way up to the time of WCW closing. So the crowd was good, as you said. Very good crowd. Sold it out. I remember after WrestleMania, even at WrestleMania weekend, numerous people with AEW shirts. The chant on Monday Night Raw the night after WrestleMania, AEW, the message was out there. And, you know, even this last month here on the show, we did the best we could. I mean, sure, Money in the Bank was a big thing. We had other topics, which was great. But the WWE talk was, it was down. And I had some, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Like, I made the comment, like, I don't even know if I'd be watching this right now if I weren't doing the podcast because of the WWE, the way it was being at that time. And I remember right around that week there, Jim Ross on his new podcast with Conrad Thompson, shout out to them, Grilling JR, very good podcast, by the way. He made the comment that it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
100%.
Okay, so at the time, I was very, you know, a little reluctant to think that. And it's like, I don't know, JR, it's that WWE sucks right now. And this is what I'm saying. And then AEW, I don't know, you got to give it a chance, but he is spot on. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. After from what I saw at the AEW pay-per-view, the Money in the Bank was really good. And now we're back in that real slot for fans that this is a good thing that just happened. So like you said, Jimmy, you have all of the products out there, all of the brands. And this one might be one of the best ones here to go up against WWE, because I'm with you. I don't think they're going to have a better opportunity to try to take down the Empire, because this has never happened. We've never seen
a company I can't start from scratch.
And a mid-card guy jump in and take over just like that. We've never seen that.
I'm going to tell Cody you called him a mid-card guy.
He was before. And good for him. He is now a main event guy. So I respect that. Good for Cody Rhodes.
He won't like you for that. I do want to reference it. I had a conversation with Cody Rhodes about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, this is a great time to be a wrestling fan because of some of the points that I stated. If WWE isn't your thing, you can find other wrestling.
Yep.
And he called it a boom period, which I thought was a little strong. But with the availability of everything, maybe it is. And maybe it has been, and because there is such a negative. So I go into wrestling shows wanting to have fun.
Yeah, oh,
and
yeah.
There are times when I get there and I'm into the first match or I'm into this match, and then it just dies because I don't care about character X or character Y, or this match is just terrible.
Right.
But I generally walk into the building wanting to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And I think that the AEW people are like that. I think people go to Raw and they start out wanting to have a good time, and then they're dreading it because of pace of the show. What's being presented? Is it being presented for you? Like, so for example, and we'll wrap up with this because I'm getting,
this is a good show though.
I'm getting chatty. SmackDown is going to be in New Hampshire, and SmackDown is going to be in Worcester during the summer.
7 days apart.
Not interested in going.
Okay.
Because the television show pacing is generally terrible. Generally. I say generally.
Okay.
In the same way that we went to Raw a few weeks ago, months ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
And I think we spent more time just socializing with everybody who was with us.
No, we did. It's true.
Than watching the program.
Yeah.
And that is the crime. I was hoping Worcester was going to be a house show, and we'd go and we'd do the superstar VIP experience, and we'd have a blast, and we'd get to see our man Billy Smith, or we'd see Kat or somebody like that. But live events, pay-per-views, that's what I like from WWE. Their week-to-week television, not my favorite.
So you're out on that. Okay. Well, here's my thing with that, with your point on the SmackDown, and I'll close it with this. I'm more interested in one of the two because it's a two-hour show. The Monday Night Raw, I'd take a hard pass on that. But a two-hour show for SmackDown, one of the two there, I'd be okay with that. House show, absolutely, all in on that. Any day of the week, encourage anybody to do that if you never have, especially the VIP. We've talked about that. But the SmackDown, I'm okay with that. I'm much more in favor of that over a Raw. Two-hour show over a three-hour show. Give it to me any day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart, and we are all out.